Randy said, I am his favorite son-in-law. It's truly a pleasure to stand up here. Third Sunday of every month, we have one of the men of the congregation bring a sermon. And it's truly a privilege to stand up here and an honor, and I thank you for that opportunity. A couple years ago, Sarah and I went on a delayed anniversary trip. In May, we went down, I guess up over somewhere to Eureka. We attended where Solomon used to attend. And that morning's class was out of the Book of Lamentations. They were studying the Book of Lamentations. Who here has ever really sat down in a class setting and studied the Book of Lamentations? Excuse me, I'm getting over this month-long and a half cold. Poor wife turned into bronchitis, so hopefully I won't blow eardrums out. Anyway, and Sarah said, you know, you should preach out of that. And honestly, for a couple years, nothing really popped into my head. The past couple weeks, well, a couple weeks ago, Des had asked me to preach, and, you know, when that happens, you just start thinking of things, and sermons come in, sermons go out, and eventually something might settle and rattle around in there and sound pretty good. So, this kind of did, and so that's what we're going to go for tonight. So tonight I'd like to take us back in time. Not in a DeLorean that goes 88 miles an hour and has 1.1 gigawatts of power, but back in time to the Bible, with our minds. Back to a time when Jerusalem was surrounded by a foreign army. Big things were going on in the world. World powers were shifting. Babylon had defeated Assyria. They rose into prominence. The 10 northern kingdoms, of course, at this time were gone. All that were left were the two southern kingdoms. In 586, once again, they were surrounded by the army of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had already conquered Jerusalem. He pulled away two groups of exiles. Daniel went with the first group, Ezekiel with the second group, and now he's there to finish the job. He had set up King Zedekiah as ruler, kind of a puppet king. Zedekiah had pledged allegiance to Babylon. However, he betrayed that allegiance by setting up an alliance with Egypt. And Babylon was at war with Egypt. They were pretty much finishing off the Egyptians. This prompted Nebuchadnezzar to march against Jerusalem for a final time to utterly destroy the city. The siege, they got there, built up a siege wall, and the siege lasted approximately 18 to 24 months. Imagine that. Your city is surrounded for 18 to 24 months. Now, they did not have the technology to fly in supplies. There were no United Nations airdrops. There was no way in. There was no way out. The only thing that they had going was water. Hezekiah had built a waterway into Jerusalem so that they would never run out of water. It's still open today. They still get a lot of their water from there. During this time, disease in the city became rampant. Many people died. Starvation was big. Food ran out. This prompted many people to actually boil and eat their own children because there was no food. Many, many people died. Near the end of the siege, King Zedekiah, his sons, and a small portion of his army fled the city. They managed to get out and flee towards Jericho. They were captured as they fled east towards Jericho. They were then brought before Nebuchadnezzar, where he was headquartered at Riblah. There, Zedekiah watched his sons be brutally murdered before his eyes, and then they plucked his eyes out. So that was the last image that he saw. He was then taken away to Babylon, where he eventually died. So, not a very pleasant scene, right? Hollywood cannot make a more dramatic movie than this. It's against this backdrop that the author, who is believed and accepted to be Jeremiah, wrote the book of Lamentations. It was obviously written by somebody who had an utterly broken heart. He was a witness to the utter destruction of the secular and spiritual capital of his people. Imagine seeing the very place where God dwelt amongst his people completely destroyed. The walls were torn down. The houses were torn down. People were killed in the streets. Didn't matter who, men, women, children, were all killed in the streets. The temple was razed and burned to the ground. So let's go ahead and turn. I'm not going to read the entire book of Lamentations, but let's go ahead and turn to Lamentations 3. I'm going to read the first 18 verses there. Jeremiah says there, I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. I have become a laughingstock to all my people, their mocking song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood, and he has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust, and my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. What an absolutely sad commentary that Jeremiah lays forth. He feels completely beaten and broken down by God. God has brought this destruction upon them. He acknowledges in earlier passages that the punishment was due to the people's sin and that it was deserved. He understood that it was because they broke God's commands that God brought this upon them. But he felt personally that the burden was just too much to bear. Have you ever personally felt that way? Has your life ever been so heavy that you just felt like the burdens were too heavy to bear? You couldn't do it anymore. Maybe you hit a time like that in your life when you feel like even serving God can be too burdensome and too hard. You know, many times in life we feel that life is just beating us down. Circumstances happen, one thing right after another. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, whatnot. We feel like God's hand is heavy upon us. You know what? Maybe it is. Maybe we have a sin that we refuse to repent of and God is punishing us. He's reminding us of this. But, as we learned in the book of Ecclesiastes that Mike taught, we learn a lot of times that life is just life. Things happen. Casey brought it up this morning in class. Somebody runs a red light, hits you. God's will, God's punishment, God's hand. Not necessarily, sometimes just life being life. Every single one of us receives good. Every single one of us receives bad because we live upon this earth. Good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, and vice versa. Whether we're struggling in this life just because we're alive, or maybe God's hand is heavy upon us because we do have a sin that we refuse to repent of, or maybe we feel that sometimes our work is just a struggle in God's kingdom, or fruitless. Have you ever struggled at something? Taught somebody? Taught this person, taught that person, taught that person, taught that person, and you feel like you never get anywhere with anybody, and you feel like, you know what, I can't do it anymore. That happens. That happens to every single one of us a lot. But you know what? We have an advantage that the rest of the world who do not follow God doesn't have. We have God on our side. They should. They should have God on their side. They can. But they don't. You know what? There is no greater ally than God. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." There is nowhere else where we can take shelter in this world where we can be truly safe. There are no things that can make us truly safe. When we put our faith in the things that we can see, touch, taste, feel, hear, smell, to rescue us from anything, they cannot truly make us safe. We cannot put those things before God, otherwise we see the consequences. We see throughout the Old Testament how God feels about that. We talked this morning in class, Hosea, the example of Hosea. When we put things before God, he considers it adultery, like in a marriage. That's how he feels. Like we are actually committing adultery against God. But in his name, we have safety. We have peace. The Psalms are full of David's songs about taking shelter and security in God when life has beat him down. You know, I think of the time when his son Absalom presumptuously took over the kingdom and was hunting him down. Or when he was running from Saul. He wrote a lot of those psalms during those times in his life, and they were dark, dark times. People were trying to kill him. His own flesh and blood was trying to kill him and kick him off the throne. Yet he always turned to God. He always looked to God to be his rock, his strength, his help, and his salvation. And so here, in chapter 3, in the midst of the Book of Lamentations, does Jeremiah. Let's continue in verse 19. Excuse me. It says, "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and has bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." Here's an absolute beautiful verse. "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord." Jeremiah had a hope and a faith in God's mercy. God, you know, we talked about how terrible at the beginning the punishment was for Jerusalem. Yet did God show them mercy? Absolutely. He could have utterly wiped them out, just like he did the 10 northern tribes. He could have mixed them amongst the people and removed his promise from them and given that promise to somebody else. Because God's promises will always be done. Remember Moses up on the mountain when they made the golden calf? How furious God was. God told Moses, "Stand back. I'm going to destroy this people completely. I will raise a nation up out of you." Yet again, he showed them mercy. You know, whatever weight falls upon us, whether it be disease, pain, depression, an absolute feeling of hopelessness, if we turn and put our faith and trust in God, then He will sustain us through it all. There's nothing in this life that can absolutely beat us down that God can't help us with. Just like He did with Jeremiah, David, Moses, and so many others that we can read about in the Bible, God keeps His promises. You know, if you're not a Christian, then you have no hope in His promises. His promises don't apply to you. Therefore, we urge you to turn your life over to Him in faithfulness through baptism into His Son's death. His blood, and only His blood, can wash away your sins. Faithful life thereafter is the only way that we can have His rewards. Is it going to be easy? No. The payment's not that great on this world, but the rewards are out of this world. Heaven. Eternal glory with Him. It's the only way we have. Now, if you've been struggling with your faith, and you need the help and prayers of this congregation, this family, we are so willing to help you. We want to help you. We want to help each other. That's why we're here. To help one another achieve that goal of heaven. If you have any needs this evening, put your faith, your trust, your hope, just like Jeremiah did, in God. Let Him bear your burdens. Let Him relieve your soul. Let Him save your soul. If you have any needs this evening, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.